Yeah, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. The first hour of this show every day of training camp is going to be a thing. I'm getting a feel
Reggie,
for it.
Reggie's getting indoctrinated big
I'm
time.
I'm getting a feel for it.
Welcome to training camp. Head on a swivel. All that.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, Cal McNair, the owner of the team, will just drop in on you, and then you have a deep conversation, at least of a certain depth, with Azeez Al-Shaair, and then we're off to the races talking around the NFL. Why not? Let's do that right here. And we begin with, we were mentioning a little bit earlier, a little bit of a false alarm or a little bit of a scare injury-wise for the New York Jets and Aaron Glenn, former Houston Texan, now the head coach out there as – The quarterback, QB1 of that team, Justin Fields, went down very early in practice today, and he was carted off.
Yeah.
Stretchered off is a little different. A little bit much. But he was carted off.
It's more like Vietnam.
The field. Yeah. they put him in a chopper.
They had a plasma
they
bag.
They took him to the MASH unit. No, none of that. He was carted off the field. Ultimately, we find out it is a toe injury and not one that is going to be super major. And so they are not going to have to go to the space. Although Aaron Glenn apparently did say that they have an outstanding level of belief in a backup quarterback to Rod Taylor. That's just something you got
to
say, right?
You have to. Yeah, that's Justin Fields is what they're hitching their wagon to. No doubt about it. And how about Cal McNair with a little pop in? That was pretty cool. Just like, hey, boys, what's up? Training camp is here. All good.
Yeah, I guess he just wanted to stop in and say hello, and we appreciate that. He did make sure to mention something that I guess we have not talked a ton about. It's a different kind of setup here when it comes to the stands and the seats for fans when you get out here to the Houston Methodist Training Center, which you'll be able to see on Saturday with first open practice. And I'm excited for you to see it. There's some real, real fun things happening. The energy is palpable early on in practice, even through walkthroughs. You can see that there's a level of energy.
Did Al-Shaair leave a puddle like Will Anderson?
I don't know. I don't believe that to be the case.
No, he did not.
He did not.
Well, he's a veteran.
I imagine that Jakob Johnson left the puddle when he was running up and down, getting some extra running in.
Yeah.
After. I'm excited about it. We haven't talked much about that. I know that this is something that we probably could talk about a little bit later, but the idea of the fullback that I feel very confident that they'll have, he looks like he is ready to go.
Big dude. But to your point, fullback and tight end, you know, it's going to be a new definition of what they do with this offense, and we know that coming in.
Yeah. All right. So as we continue around the NFL, Fig, I'm going to need you a little help audio-wise. This is a big, long audio cut here that I want you to hear from Titans camp. Obviously, Will Levis ends up having season-ending surgery. He's put on season-ending injury reserve. And, you know, the quarterback who they're going into the season with, number one overall pick in the draft this year, Cam Ward, is, you know, it's all on him now. I think that there's a full expectation already there was that he's going to be the guy, but now it's all on him. I don't know that there's as much relief behind him if you needed to go to that space. This is Cam Ward's response to, any feelings when it comes to finding out that Will Levis was injured and out for the season.
What was kind of your reaction to the news that Levis had decided to have surgery and kind of subtracted from the quarterback room now?
I really didn't have a reaction. I focused on Cam Ward.
Okay.
Yep, big long response by Cam Ward there. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. How would that make you feel?
I still don't know how I feel about that, because I understand, especially for Cam Ward coming in.
Because there's a little bit of element of, screw that guy.
A little bit. It does feel a little bit like that. And like,
I'm here to replace him.
Juxtapose it with C.J. Stroud. Not everybody's going to be C.J. Stroud. He's a unique guy. It's why we love him, or it's part of why we love him at the very least.
Yeah.
And C.J., you're talking about all the different, different handshakes that he has with everybody else. You're talking about the ways in which, you know, he embraces all of his teammates.
Yeah.
And then you got Cam Ward. And again, I'm not saying that he doesn't do any of those things, but very much it seems very almost someone would describe it as a diva-like answer. I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about me. And to be fair, there's a lot to be worried about for a rookie coming in. The learning curve is steep as a quarterback. So I understand that he has a lot of that, but it just hit me wrong.
As I'm trying to process it a little more here as we're talking about it, I think I would lean to, come on, man, don't do that, because it was an injury. Like, it's one thing if, like, they just asked you, you know, and because Cam Ward, his entire life you know, he's been a fighter. He's had to fight, you know, to get everything he ever got on a football field. So you get that edge, you know, you get that a little bit. But when there's an injury, a season-ending injury, you're like, screw that guy.
You know what? You know what might make it sound even worse?
Yeah,
he does do the third person at the end of it, as evidence by as pointed out by the 713. I'm worried about Cam Ward as opposed to I'm worried about myself and maybe the development or learning, picking up the offense. All I'm worried about Cam Ward.
Yeah.
So yes, if that's any indication, make of that what you will when it comes to the Titans. Obviously losing Will Levis. Some other things around the NFL injury news: Cardinals first round pick Walter Nolan III. He's missing the start of training camp with a calf injury that he suffered while training in the offseason. Not too unfamiliar from this or unusual for this circumstance, teams dealing with the level of injuries. The thing that that allows me to get to is I look at the NFC just in general, mm-hmm. with the NFC West and that Cardinals team. That was a team that was interesting that you were looking at. Hey, what could they do? How many teams in the NFC are you really looking at as potential? You know, in the same way that you look at the AFC and there's a number of teams that you go, these are the guys that are, or these are the teams that are at the top of the crop or the cream of the crop. I look at the NFC and I don't really see many of them.
Well, you're right. Eagles, Commanders, Rams. I mean, you're right. The
Lions.
Lions. I forgot about them. But
and maybe Packers, depending on how you feel about
them. But those are maybes, you know. Those are maybes. And I think that actually opens it up for the NFC. A lot of teams, you know, not just saying that they think they have a chance, they probably do have a chance.
Yeah. Some other things around the NFL. Russell Wilson named named starter for the Giants. Nothing surprising there, right?
Not really. They did draft Jackson Dart, but Russell Wilson came in for that. By the way, Jackson Dart, first ever practice, first ever pass at training camp practice, pick six. So. In terms of 11-on-11, but I still like that kid. I think he's going to be good. But Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, that's one of your guys. I forgot. Your guy.
Yeah, that's my guy.
That's your man that you got out there. Yeah, that was not fun, but, of course, it's training camp like that. I don't think that that's a huge deal. And it was to be expected that Russell Wilson was going to be that guy. I do wonder, do you feel like he gets usurped at any point this season by Jackson Dart, or do you think that this is going to be an entirely a season where Jackson Dart sits, learns, and eventually gets the opportunity to have that job?
What team is it again?
The New York Giants.
So, yes.
Okay, cool.
The Giants, you know, with the pressure they have, the urgency to win, anything that Russell Wilson does in general is going to be magnified, good or bad. But in New York, even more so.
Yeah.
So I think he will, actually.
I can see it. I can see it. Some other things around the NFL. We got an initial Browns quarterback training report. Mm-hmm. And obviously Shedeur Sanders is a person of interest. Tell me if you kind of understand the thought process here. So day one of training camp yesterday saw a quarterback rotation that was similar to OTAs. Kenny Pickett, first guy when it came to quarterback. Dylan Gabriel, second team. And Shedeur Sanders, third team. No reps for Joe Flacco. How do you read that?
Well, I look more at what the first three than the last one. Flacco, you know, he doesn't need to have any reps at this point. All classroom, maybe a couple little things later in camp or preseason. The Shedeur Sanders things made some headlines, and I think there has to be something with that. As everybody knows, if you don't, you should. You know, these reps or these practices are short. The reps are precious. If you're the third quarterback getting reps, you are behind the eight ball. You know, you are fighting an uphill battle. So I think that stood out to me more than anything, that Shedeur Sanders was third.
Especially because if you want, or if you're in favor of him or rooting for him to eventually take that job, right? Because I think there was a lot of people that, obviously we know what happened on draft night or in that time period. There was views or thoughts of him being a first round pick and he falls all the way to fifth. That disparity, mm-hmm. in order for you to make that up, you got to have the opportunity to actually get out there and throw the football and have opportunities to be impressive. And that is a climb that he has to make. I understand that you can think of it maybe as, all right, the depth chart isn't specifically a climb, but I think you laid
it
out pretty nicely.
It's
the reps.
Yeah.
And with whom you're running the reps with as well.
Exactly. Hey, the Browns also released their helmet, new helmet.
They sure did.
Figgy, you saw this.
Yeah, I thought that was a UPS hat for me, man.
Well, yeah, first of all, the helmet itself is not getting good reviews.
Why should it?
Yeah.
Thought it was a good idea is my first question. Yeah. If you're unfamiliar, the Cleveland Browns unveiled a helmet that they will wear at some point this year. It's not going to be their primary helmet, but it's the first time that the Cleveland Browns, aptly named the Cleveland Browns, will actually wear a helmet that is brown. And the brown
Doo-doo brown helmet.
buddy, I don't know what that was, but it is brown, but it has orange, a couple of orange racing stripes down the middle of it. And in launching this, they did so by, well, they were on the lake.
It was on a floating sort of barge.
Yeah, on the lake. Yeah. So they had a giant iteration of the helmet, a seemingly like very elderly fan. I don't know exactly what that was. I don't know if she was just like, you know, the big time fan they had. Was the mascot on there as well?
The mascot? No, it was a staffer.
A staffer getting a video of it.
Yeah.
Who is trying to get like a kind of panoramic or panning shot.
I need another angle.
Yep. Stepped right off the barge into the lake.
And I'm presuming Lake Erie, right, Figgy?
Yeah.
Lake Erie, which is not warm water, even at this time of year.
That's what it was. Yeah. It wasn't that there was a mascot for the team. It was a mascot for the sponsor of this helmet unveil, which very aptly, as you said, Doodle Brown, was Dude Wipes. Like, how do you not see that juxtaposition there?
And
we're going to make fun of you, Cleveland Browns.
And you saw it all over the internet. I mean, it was the most Browns thing ever. Dude was so confidently sort of angling around the helmet. Oh, this will be a good angle. Bloop, right into the drink. Right into Lake Erie. And my favorite part, I don't know if you guys noticed this, the mascot you're talking about didn't even skip a beat. Grabbed a life jacket, threw it at the dude in the water, and then went back to acting a fool. And then he started doing all the little crazy dances and stuff.
I want to ask y'all this, because this has kind of been going around a little bit. Do y'all think that's staged?
No.
Yes.
No, you do?
Yes.
It was
going to be my confession, but I've gotten to a point where, like, I am so skeptical so many of these videos that get put out, especially in a corporate capacity. Like, everybody is trying to get something that's viral. And you want something that's organic, organic stuff doesn't always happen. So then you create the organic. And that one felt like, oh, well, he organically fell off and we happened to have a drone shot. And, there was a life vest that we threw in. Like, all the things feel
you have to have life jackets on boats.
But see,
it's the law.
Even the Dude Wipes sponsorship.
Yeah.
To me, that was kind of all part of it, too.
I don't know. And I'm generally the conspiracy theorist, but... Give that guy an Oscar, first of all, because he sold it. I mean, it was so smooth.
You know what sold it more? Gravity. That's what sold it, John Lopez. What do you mean he sold it?
I mean, he just like casually was walking, never dropped the camera, never looked out in the side of his eye that we could tell. And then the other thing, the reason I don't buy it, that it was staged, although I'm not saying it wasn't, but I don't buy it. This is the most Browns thing ever. And do they really want to elevate their own silliness by doing something silly like that?
I'm gonna use your phrase, Lopez. Just spell the name right.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, so that's happening. One more thing around the NFL. Actually, two more things, because you already know one of the last thing is going to be. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, obviously, they have one of the most interesting portions of camp that's not a camp battle, which is how are they handling the two-way players, cornerback, wide receiver, or wide receiver, cornerback, Travis Hunter. So it seems like they're not taking it easy on him early in camp. They're switching him both sides of football early on in camp. Do you like that? Because it feels like there's one of two minds of thought that you could have about operating like that early in camp.
Yeah, look, if you're going to do it in the season, you better start now. We were just talking about reps, you know, and as a rookie, if you're not getting those reps on either side of the ball, we all know how risky it is. We all know how unique it is. But if he's going to play on both sides of the ball, he needs to do it right now. He needs to start doing it right now. I applaud them for not taking kid gloves here or whatever. But we'll see how it plays out, because it's a big ask.
I mean, one of the things that you talked about, we mentioned it with the Z's, is like after a while, camp is an absolute beating.
Yeah.
And playing both ways is a beating. So playing both ways in camp is a beating. And then the regular season will start. Like,
yes,
I've already
yes.
been of a mind, though. Like, I understand your thought. You've got to get used to it. But also, I don't think that you can take that mileage off once you go, all right, well, now we get into the season.
Yeah.
I think that this might lessen the opportunity that he even makes it through 17 games doing this both ways.
But this is really the only choice.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah, probably for him to be up to speed on both the offense and the defense.
Yeah.
I just continue to find this fascinating. I'm going to watch that. And, of course, we'll get an opportunity to see that up close and personal with the Texans seeing the Jaguars twice in the season. Of course, the final thing that I'll leave you with at this period of time when it comes to around the NFL, your top 100 player the day, as voted on, obviously, by the players, the NFL, NFL.com, for some reason, releasing the top 100 player a day. Your player today, number 64, drum roll, please, Denver quarterback Bo Nix.
You know what? I'm not gonna just shrug at this one.
Wow, we got him. We got him. Okay?
I'm not gonna. I think there's something here. I think there's something here. I'm not gonna just shrug at this. Bo Nix is gonna be at 64. That's gonna be a really good indicator, because there's no way, or is there? There's no way that C.J. Stroud is not on the list if Bo Nix is on, right?
No, I mean, I felt very confident about it. You were the only one, I think, on the show though, who was not confident about that at this point.
Yeah, based on the fact that he didn't make a lot of top 10 lists and et cetera. But no way Bo Nix is on the list at 64 and C.J. Stroud is not.
We're doing a lot for Bo Nix off of that first season.
We sure are.
I will give him credit. I think he handled that offense incredibly well. He talked about it, I think, yesterday at camp, that he is, you know, he's reached out to Drew Brees and talked to him, which I think that's a very good person if you're running a Sean Payton offense. But and maybe I'm just a hater, it's quite possible. Yeah. I'm still interested in seeing what it looks like for him in year two.
Yes.
And when it comes to how highly I want to rate
Sean Payton had and I know we're kind of up against it, but Sean Payton had a good comment yesterday, and I don't know if you saw it, that a lot of people are saying Bo Nix is in a great situation. He fell into a great situation. He's taking time with Drew Brees and all that. Sean Payton kind of went off. He said, you guys are just doing, or people who say that, are just doing that to justify your pre-draft take that that good.
Correct.
And I think he's right.
Correct. I will not hide from that at all.
No, I think he's right. Yeah. And by the way, shout out to the NFL for finally giving, after 36 picks, something to talk about.
We'll keep that going as we continue to move through training camp and obviously into the 2025 NFL season. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, look, we can't neglect one of the hottest teams. In fact, a team that is tied for the best record in all of the AL, the Houston Astros. So coming up next, it's a good day, I think, to have some Joe Espada appreciation. So let's do that next. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the big voice, man. Training camp 2025. Day two is also in the books now. Good practice, as usual. Is there any day where you go, like, just bad practice?
Yes, absolutely. And this wasn't necessarily a bad practice for the offense. I think it was just a really good practice for the defense. And the offense, you'll hear from D'Amico and others as we move along. The defense was what we thought it was. But, yeah, man, I've seen some stinkers out here. If we're being honest,
today was not one of those by any stretch.
They haven't seen one yet. So,
no.
Keep it going.
Very good. Yeah, absolutely. That's been a really great thing, is seeing an early efficiency, early propensity to be really good about getting your work done. And I think hopefully, now I'm doing too much, trying to stretch it. Hopefully that'll mean that you'll get a good Houston Texans team all season long. Yeah, we'll see what that ultimately looks like. But this is preferable to the alternative. Also preferable to the alternative, the Astros sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks in Arizona with a 4-3 victory yesterday. And we talked about this, a little bit of a day game, getaway game. Mm-hmm. We talked about it when we saw the lineup, and we were like, hey, man, this looks like the Space Cowboys out there that they sent out to play in Arizona. And yet and still, a victory nonetheless. And, I mean, there's obviously a lot of people to give credit to, and we will talk about all those, including, namely, a certain Brandon Walter getting out there, giving you 7 innings of one-run baseball, which, to be fair, I do appreciate was Keith on the YouTube page asking the question, hey, you know, he had only thrown 82 at that point. Could you have also left him out there a little bit longer, because a couple of runs did score for the Diamondbacks in the eighth? But, you know, neither here nor there, because, again, another victory, and it is Joe Espada at the helm, pulling strings. Cam Smith, Altuve both get the day off, still getting a victory with Taylor Trammell leading off. Like, it's just, there's a level of appreciation that we have to give to Joe Espada and this Houston Astros leadership, because they keep getting the job done to the tune of now being tied for the best record in all of the American League.
Yeah, let's pause here for a second and do something that we just truly, and it's our fault, it's fans' fault, it's baseball writers' fault, that haven't done this, that we haven't done really enough of, and that is, let's appreciate Joe Espada. It's always easy to blame the manager, you know, good or bad. I mean, the Astros were on their way to World Series, and, you know, we were talking about Dusty this, A.J. Hinch, you know, oh, boy, what did he do, how he's handling, you know, back in the 2019 World Series, et cetera. The manager in baseball is always one of the more talked about issues, and very rarely in a very positive light. I hope Astros fans realize, because I had this sort of, you know, light bulb moment yesterday as I'm watching this. Let's go back to what you just laid out. They put out what, by all rights, was a largely minor league lineup yesterday.
Hell, I heard Sean talking about this morning, and he's probably not wrong. If you had seen this lineup in spring training, you'd have been like, all right, this is, you know, split squad, maybe even type lineup that you've been seeing out here.
But in doing that, he sat Jose Altuve and Cam Smith,
which I think they had as a planned rest day.
Well, they said it was a planned rest
still
day.
Still bold.
Yeah, but yeah, those things can tend to change if, you know, if you're injured and your lineup is not what you hope it is, and you're trying to get a sweep and you're trying to get to the top of the American League, as you mentioned, tied for the best record. It happens all the time where a manager goes, hey, can you go? I really need you. And they do, especially a young player like Cam. And he didn't. Joe Espada clearly is a guy that – and this is not to criticize Dusty, as we were just talking about, or AJ Hinch.
Here you go.
No, it's not.
I know.
It's all on Dusty.
I think it's more my point is, Joe Espada is not afraid to do things that Dusty Baker and AJ Hinch, you know, hesitated to do. And that is, don't be unafraid to be flexible, to adapt, to be light on his feet, so to speak, in his managerial decisions. And we saw it in living color yesterday, you know, with this lineup. But beyond that, let's talk about being flexible playing small ball, baby.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Did I text you guys when this one happened? I think I texted you guys earlier in the series with Bunts, but
it was your other show.
I am very much – and what are you talking about? What happened there? What was I just accused of?
Yeah.
Did you just make me like a man in the 70s who has two families, one across town? Is that what you just made me?
I think you're a Mormon radio host.
Whoa! Hold on. Wait a minute. I don't appreciate that particularly. But going back to the Bunts, yeah, man, I think that also –
That's flexibility.
But not just that. I think that's understanding the situation. You got Zach Short coming up, and then right immediately after him, oh my goodness, of course, off the top of my head, I forget who was immediately after
it.
Zach
was Tremel.
It was Tremel starting out the back top, and it's like, look, I know what these guys are. Tremel, who, I mean, he was 1-for-3 on the day because of that bun, but he'd seen a lot of pitches. You bring him up, and you're like, hey, these guys I don't necessarily view as guys that are like going to be incredible swinging the bat. We need something.
Yeah.
Let's use the speed that these guys have. Let's use what they have. Hey, put down a good bunt. Go out there and you a couple of bunts and you play a little small ball and you ultimately get the run that you need.
Yeah. And so that's a Joe Espada appreciation point, as is the lineup, and not being able to just keep his guys down, showing some confidence in the lineup that he did put out there. They produce. They end up winning. He plays small ball, which I don't think a lot of managers in this era would ever do. Back-to-back bunts? Back-to-back bunts?
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
The real sick part is that it worked both times. Like, at some point, I also look over there at the other dugout, and I go, hey, man, what's happening with y'all?
Yeah.
Why y'all can't field a bunt and get your out there?
And then on top of all that, the confidence to be able to, you know, and this is pitching staff, coaching staff as well. Brandon Walter all of a sudden was like, come on, he's good. He was good yesterday. And then Christian Walker, you know, we know he's had his bad moments. He's not having the most amazing year, but seems to be coming around, puts him out there, gets a big hit from Walker as well. I mean,
doesn't just put him out there. Christian Walker was hitting in the three hole yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, I think they've pulled a lot of the right strings. And look, there's places to absolutely criticize. I think the YouTube is doing a good job of bringing up some things, right? Like, obviously, you could say that he cost Walter a win by not bringing him back out there. Bennett Sousa's been pretty good this season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I hate the idea there. And especially, you don't want to, I don't think you want to overwork Brandon Walter.
Exactly.
Your starting pitching rotation, we've talked about it time and time again. I understand how they're trying to manage that. But like, yeah, man, you got to give him credit. I think it was Adam Spillane on Twitter that was talking about this, and I really did value this. At some point, we we just got the Texans, or sorry, the Astros, and the way that they build up pitching is goated, right? Like, mm-hmm. this is a 29-year-old cat in Brandon Walter that is, you know.
He's been up and down twice in the last 2 years.
And here he is giving you 7 innings of one-run baseball. And, I mean, he's been pretty solid for you continuously all year.
What,
I mean,
3.6-something ERA?
3.35 ERA after this one, you know. So, like, the organization deserves a lot of credit for these things and being able to, you know, being able to span the gap here from the 7-1-3. Y'all think the bunts were called by the manager? I would have to imagine.
He said it. We have the cut.
In fact, here we go. Cut three, Joe Espada. You know, how did those bunts come about?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's more behind it that I can't share here. But, we talked about it before the inning started. It gets on, you run him over, and Matthews on that push punt trying to get a guy over to third, even though he's swinging the bat really well, but just trying to get guys just move down the line.
Appreciate Joe Espada. He's had a hell of a year.
He has.
He should be the leader for manager of the year, all things considered. 17 guys on the IL. Oh, yeah. We didn't even mention that. You know, and your manager is finagling the best record in American League.
All right. On the YouTube page, Christian Walker struck out 3 times and left runners on base before, or all game before that hit. So excuse me if I don't praise him. Okay, I hear you on that. However, one of the things that I will point to is, I mean, Christian Walker got how many 5 hits in that series, being, I guess, in a way, back to his previous home in Arizona. And if you look at his splits over the, like, last 14 days, he's swinging the bat pretty well. Last 7 days, .346 batting average with a .952 OPS. Does this feel like the jump start for you, or am I doing a little too much?
A little too much. What I'm saying, though, is, you know, the confidence the managers had, he did come up with a big hit. It is fascinating to me. I think the text board and the YouTube stream are kind of illustrating what I said at the very beginning. People are just hell-bent on not giving the manager full credit when it's so easy to criticize. And we're seeing it here. I mean, some people are giving him a lot of credit, but a lot of people are like, excuse me for not crediting. Oh, are you sure he called it? Yes and yes. You know, he's doing a hell of a job, man. And this is a good day to talk about it because it was illustrated yesterday.
Yeah. And so ultimately, the biggest thing that we look at when we talk about a manager, I know that process matters. We're out here. I know Nick Caserio, if he was sitting in front of us, he'd be like,
stack days.
Process, stack days, other cliches. But yeah, process matters, but also it's a results oriented business. And right now the results are looking very good for your Houston Astros, to the tune of the tie, now tied for the best record in the American League, as you mentioned, with 17 players actively on the injured list as of this moment on the injured list. It's incredible what this team has done, and they get back at it tonight. Like, there's no rest, and it's one of the reasons why you made sure to get rest for Altuve and Cam Smith headed into a four game set versus the Athletics, who are coming into town at Daikin Park. That gets going tonight for your Astros. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a big-time passing in the worlds of sports entertainment. We'll talk about that and more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Hope your Thursday is going very well. It's been a fun one for us. Very fun one for the defense out here at training camp. We'll talk a little bit more about that, I imagine, here. And then also next, when we have an opportunity here from the head coach of the Texans, D'Amico Ryans. But first, we were just talking about the Astros and, you know, an appreciation for Joe Espada, for the leadership, at least in the places that we can. Obviously, if we wanted to knock him, we very well could and start talking about injuries or whatever. But we do have to give credit where credit is due. Now, you know, this team the record is 60-42, ladies and gentlemen.
Unbelievable.
60-42 with many, many. In fact, I want to go with, I'm sure that they keep the stats. How many, like, games lost have you had due to injury? It's got to be astronomical.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
What it is for this Astros team to still have a tie for the best record in all the American League and really only be one game back of the best record in baseball, which is the 61-41 Milwaukee Brewers. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, this has just been incredible by the Astros. But to that end, because of that, someone on the text line, again, 713-572-4610, texted in from the 281. They were listening to a national broadcast on Sunday, and on the broadcast they were mentioning possible World Series teams. Tigers, Yankees, Blue Jays, Dodgers, Phillies. No Astros love in there.
Yeah.
Fair or foul?
I'm going to say foul because clearly, you know, we know where they are now in the standings. But there is a little bit of a fair element to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody believes it. We don't believe it, that this is real, that it's really happening, that the Astros, the way they are.
Come on now. Don't put me in there. I never said anything so bold.
Come on now. And I'm obviously buying in now, and we just talked about, you know, an entire segment about the Joe Appreciation Espada, the Joe Espada Appreciation Day, so to speak, and I'm buying it, and I get it, but I think nationally it's like, really? Those guys, you expect them to win a World Series, to be a World Series threat? I get that part.
Again, I think we've talked about it in various different ways. The injuries do need to resolve at some point. Like, they're making a shake without the injuries, but I think regular season is one thing. Postseason baseball is a different, and I think you need some of these injuries to resolve. Namely, I think the big ones that we talk about, obviously Pena, I think we have a level of confidence that will resolve. Yordan probably needs to resolve. We're talking about not just, hey, we're going to make a run, but World Series champion type team. I think that that's necessary. And then, again, we've talked about the pitching injuries. That some of that definitely needs to be resolved for you to be in that space. But I guess not even a mention does. That's nasty work.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, it's foul, but I get it, you know?
Yeah, so that appreciate you texting that in. People still, they don't believe in us. Like, get in the clubhouse, put it up on the bulletin board. They don't believe, nobody believed in us.
Yeah.
Nobody believed. I love an athlete's ability to conjure that up. Nobody believed in us. Yeah. What do you mean? You've been number one in the power rankings for weeks. Nobody believed in us.
Didn't we have one last year? Was it Ohio State?
Yes.
Yeah, was it Ohio State?
It was Figgy. It was Yo Man.
Yeah, it's like nobody believed we could do this. You're freaking Ohio State, for God's sake.
Now, to be honest, after that Michigan loss, I don't think nobody believed in them.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Hey, none of y'all ain't have Ohio State winning at all.
Yeah, but that's because I'm a hater.
But it's freaking Ohio State. I was like, okay. But I get it. Every team tries to build that, you know, that sort of like nobody believed in us mentality.
Look, if you've got to lie and just, delude yourself or what have you, again, I've said it many times that I subscribe to the Slim Charles rule of thought, which is if it's a lie, then we fight on that lie, but we got to fight. So if that ultimately produces the results, do what you got to do. Big fella. Some other things that are popping. This is a big part of news for anybody that grew up enjoying sports entertainment, otherwise known as wrestling, as I like to call it, especially in the WWE, WCW at some points. We've had numerous people mentioning on the text line, hey, y'all know this? And I imagine Sean Pendergast is somewhere pouring a little bit out. Hulk Hogan has reportedly passed away at 71 years of age. Obviously, big-time wrestler. What are your thoughts on finding out that the Hulkster, Hulkamania?
I'm interested. I'll give you mine real quick, but I'm interested in Figgy's as well. I think this is part of the era that you really dug in, Figgy. But my thoughts are this. When you go beyond your realm, you're a megastar. The guy was in Rocky movies. He was a constant at a lot of arenas and stadiums, getting the crowd juiced up. He boxed Muhammad Ali, I believe, or somebody. I think it was Muhammad Ali. He had an exhibition against him. It was one of those.
Did he really?
Yeah, he had an exhibition against somebody. It might have been might not have been Ali. But you know, the guy just transcended his sport. And this is where I'm going to toss it to you, Figgy. Is he top three WWE of all time?
That's a tough one, man, because I think far as image and all that stuff, I would say yes, because he's the most memorable, recognizable wrestler, one of the recognizable wrestlers of all time.
Ric Flair.
But I know some. Yeah, Ric Flair is probably number one, to be honest. But
I don't know that there's another, like Andre the Giant, I start thinking of, but I might just be doing that
with
Hulk's the size
up there.
Yeah, but I think Hulk might be too.
Yeah, I know you might have some some Sean Pendergast type people that saying technically he wasn't the best wrestler.
Well, who cares?
I don't know about that part, but no, as far as that, I was just talking about Hulk Hogan last week, I want to say. His viral video, I think, remember he had that reality show on MTV?
Oh, buddy, yeah. Boy, do I.
And he was in the car listening to Jeezy.
That's right.
And he kept replaying it back. I just posted that, like, last week.
Yeah.
Okay, so now if we're going to do this for real, I need to actually lock in, because J-Rock, appreciate you on the YouTube. Undertaker, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Stone Cold, all factor in. I don't know. Rock might have an opportunity. As much as
The Rock, a lot of texters say 1-8-3-2 undeniably top three. I think he probably is. Yeah.
And just a programming note of sorts, make sure that you watch KHOU's newscast tonight, because it seems like our very own Sean Pendergast will be the expert du jour that speaks on the passing of Hulk Hogan for the city of Houston. So check that out.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, brother.
Oh, buddy. My heart stopped because I knew exactly what was supposed to be said.
Hey,
there.
Booker T.
And by the way, now I'm going to say unquestioned top three, because Sean Pendergast just said unquestioned.
Right.
Top three.
Oh, I was with you, but I was just like, let me make sure that I'm doing the due diligence. But I guess, to be fair, if he's doing the due diligence, I don't have to keep going. All I will say is I know for damn sure Iron Sheik is excited to see that man come up and meet him wherever people pass away to, because I know that Iron Sheik was like, let's get after that Hogan. But I know that made a lot of people happy. People enjoyed watching his work. And I think that's pretty much what most of us can ask for is that situation there. So I guess a rest in peace to Hulkamania, to Hulk Hogan, who passed away at 71. Some other things that are popping in this moment. Did you see this? Salute to JV. Mm-hmm. Salute to Justin Verlander, who is obviously a legend in the game. He is going to be a Hall of Famer. In fact, I have something for you on that later on in the show. He wins his first game with the San Francisco Giants. Now, I know that you're saying, hey, Reggie, I think you might have said something wrong, because he's been with the Giants all year. And to that, I would say, no, I know.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. It's July 24th.
That's right.
It's July 24th, Reggie.
Uh-huh.
Snap out of it.
I am completely snapped into it, in fact. 16 tries at getting a victory with the Giants, and the Giants just ain't helping him out. Finally, he gets win number 263 on his career with a victory yesterday. I mean, he's the Giants just ruined his opportunity to get to 300, right?
Yeah, I think they have. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he retires after this year. You're right. A lot of bad luck. A lot of bad Verlander, too. You know, both of them.
Yeah,
you know,
I was going to say, is that the Giants' fault?
Oh, yes.
I felt like...
No, the Giants have not helped him.
Okay,
but he's
because
also
he ain't
not been
pitching
good.
The best either.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's also true.
Yeah, 4.70 ERA, which obviously I think you'd put that on the pitcher, you know. But there's been a very, very problem, a very big problem with giving him some run support with the Giants.
Yeah.
And it has been a bad go for him. And, I mean, you understand why he makes the move that he does. But the Giants have not delivered in supporting him in particular. Yeah. 1-8 record. And I think even knowing JV and where he's at in his career, I think we could all look at that without knowing anything else and go, that does not seem indicative of what Justin Verlander has been and even still is at this point in time in his career. So bleep you, San Francisco, is what I have to say to
Reggie,
that.
It sounds like you saying Dana Brown made the call.
Oh, whoa!
Sound like you telling him to make the call.
Whoa, who said that?
That's what it sounds like you saying.
He just needs a new environment, Figgy?
Yeah.
Who
Bryce
said
Matthews
all that?
For Justin Verlander.
Oh, Lord.
Let's go.
Oh, Lord.
Who said all that?
You said all that. You said that's a bad organization, so we got to go back to the Astros for a third time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to allow you to corner me. I already have my full slate of bad takes already. I'm already on the I like Mechie train right now. Like, I don't need any more of the takes that I already know are going to age probably not the best. So don't do that to me. But yes, that's what's popping. Oh, and one more thing. I want to say this today. I definitely want to say it again tomorrow, but just in case, because I know I think we should have B. Scott in tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a lot of things moving and shaking. I don't want to miss this. This weekend sees Billy Wagner join Ichiro Suzuki, CC Sabathia, and the recently departed Dave Parker in being inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame. So that's the 27th at 12:30 p.m. is when Billy Wagner, obviously fantastic Astros closer, is going into the Hall of Fame. I will do my damnedest to make mention of it tomorrow, but I know myself enough to know that there's a lot of things moving on a Friday, especially if we get B. Scott in. I want to make sure to salute a absolute legend in the game who is going into the Hall of Fame.
Look, I've been on that train for the longest time. When I had a Hall of Fame vote, I was voting for Billy Wagner every year. So I'm glad you brought it up, and definitely 100%. It's well deserved and long overdue.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll definitely keep track of that. Of course, we love our Houston Astros around these parts. All right, coming up next here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Let's hear from the head coach of the Houston Texans. We got a little bit of a little cameo as he came over and hugged Aziz Ashaire as we were talking to him. But let's hear from him in full as he talked to the Assembly Media after day two of training camp. You'll hear that next.